Fair far ye, honest sonsy face, great chieftain of the puddin' race. The opening words of the address to the haggis by Rabbi Burns. I've heard those words, and I've seen them make sixth generation grown Scotsmen weep. The ancient whisper of an ancestral tongue, perhaps spoken by a poet or a prophet, haunting back to a memory that is somehow in our DNA and our bloodline, that opens us, that breaks us open, that reminds us of our heritage, of our people, of a lost language perhaps, of who we are, of reminding us of a depth of lineage, of identity that makes us weep. Language has the power to do that. Culture has the power, connected with language, to be continued through generations. Language and culture are twins together, and I'd like to share with you some information about how language and culture affects life, identity, wholeness, and healing. From a working paper entitled Culture and Language as Social Determinations of First Nations, Inuit, and Métis Health. A definition of culture. Culture is a dynamic and adaptive system of meaning that is learned, shared, and is transmitted from one generation to another, and is reflected in the values, norms, practices, symbols, ways of life, and other social interactions of a given culture. Kreuter and McCure, 2004. It is the foundation of both individual and collective identity, and its erosion can adversely affect mental health, well-being, and lead to depression, anxiety, substance abuse, and even suicide. Language is a conveyor of culture, and the means by which knowledge, skills, and cultural values are expressed and maintained. The suppression of language, particularly for Indigenous people, is, quote, a form of disempowerment and oppression that impacts self-identity, well-being, self-esteem, and empowerment, all of which are key ingredients for individual and community healing. Cohen, 2001. Language maintenance and continuity are critical to the revitalization of culture and the survival of any people. For the First Nations people in Canada who bear a disproportionate burdens of illness, the revitalization of culture and language is essential for improving health and life and future. This morning in our scripture from the Hebrew Bible, we hear of how words and language can break a community open and remind them of who they are. It's important for us to hear a wee bit of the context of this particular story, this dramatic story into which we are invited. The context is some 4.5 centuries before the time of Jesus' birth. The people of Israel had been returned to their home, to their center, to their city, to Jerusalem, after time of exile in Babylon. But that to which they returned was not what generations before was what they had left. The temple had been torn down and destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar, and rebuilt in this flimsy, almost pathetic testimony to what had been before. It was almost as if this cathedral were to be torn down and a trailer put in its place. The people returned to Jerusalem, this small band of exiles coming home, having distance from their heritage, to a town that was now in rubble. The gates around the city were ash and broken stone. And generations of distance from their heritage, their culture, and their language had been experienced. And we pick up this morning on this scene where Ezra, the priest, and the scribe goes to the water gate, and the people gather, and all who had ears were there to listen. And this incredibly dramatic story of language being spoken, interpreted, and made accessible. On the first day of the seventh month, all the people gathered before the water gate, and Ezra, the scribe, and the priest brought the Torah, the book of the law, the very thing that identified the Jewish community as whose people they were, as God's promised and beloved. And facing them in the square on a platform with friends and interpreters, for all the ears of the people who were attentive and tuned to this word of the law, Ezra opens the book. And everyone stands. He begins those ancient words of blessing, and the people say, "Amen, amen, yes, yes." And then they bow their heads as the words of the Torah are spoken in a language far distant from their understanding, but then broken open by the interpreters, the translators who accompany Ezra on the platform. The word is made accessible to them. It is given to them as sense. And they weep. Nehemiah the governor, and Ezra the priest, and the scribe, and the Levites who taught the people say to them, "This is a holy day. This is a holy day before the Lord. Go and feast, share wine, give to those who have not prepared food. The joy of the Lord is your strength. This is not a time for grieving, but a time for returning and rejoicing." A community that had lost their understanding of language and culture through oppression and displacement returned home to have the word broken open and made accessible to them, that brings them to the point of weeping because they remembered something ancient in themselves of who they were and whose they were. Word can break us open. Ancient, lost words, lost to our memory, lost to our understanding, has capacity when interpreted and presented back to us and relearned to remind us and liberate us and tell us who we are. I don't need to draw the lines in a dark Sharpie for you. You can see how this story of these ancient Israelites speaks to the truth and reality of many cultures and languages of our day and here in our own country. Let me share with you a story, a recent story, of how word has saved, redeemed, restored, and reimagined a people. Jeremy Dutcher is a young, trained operatic tenor and composer from New Brunswick. He was the 2018 winner of the Polaris Music Prize. He recorded a piece of music that integrated the ancient language of his people, found and kept in the museum, where he found an anthropologist had recorded on wax cylinders the songs of his people from 100 years ago. When I first got to hear these voices, he says, that work for me was a profoundly transformational moment in my life. Hearing those songs on those cylinders was a process of deep listening. I sit there with these headphones and I really hear what those voices had to say to me. He spent weeks inside the museum, meticulously transcribing the recordings that were which were collected by William Metchling, the anthropologist who lived among his ancestors in the early 1900s. And then, armed with a notebook filled with these transcripts, he began writing music around them, arrangements around them, breathing new life into an old, ancient language of his people. This language is now only spoken by fewer than 100 people. And his own mother was punished for speaking it. He continues in the interview to say, I think the shame that my mother felt in those schools that was relayed down from generation to generation, that is why I have turned an archive of recordings into something accessible, something current. I think it's important for people to understand a true history of what happened and what continues to happen in this country around the systematic devaluing of indigenous language and culture. Dutcher says his generation needs to understand the importance of their own indigenous language. If the younger generation doesn't start to reclaim and revitalize our language, he says, we will lose it forever. When I came to a better understanding of my own mother tongue, I started to understand my place in the world a bit better and started to relate to the world around me differently. The ancient Israelites had an ancient lost language broken open for them, and it reminded them of who they were. Many of our First Nations communities are turning to the recovery of their language and culture as a way of healing and wholeness to remember who they are. I'm married to someone who's sixth generation Scottish, and I know that Gaelic for him and the tune of the pipes stirs something up in him that is ancient and old and inexplainable. And we, as Christians, stand on the shoulders of our ancestors, an oppressed and broken people brought home whose lives were reminded and broken open by the sharing of the Torah. And in that they were told, joy is your strength, God is with you. And we stand on that heritage of those who embrace language recovered, culture remembered, liberation given. And as the body of Christ, in that inheritance and heritage, as ones given the word who could not come and be among us without those who returned from Babylon to Jerusalem, who remembered the Torah and the first promise, as ones who inherit that next promise of covenant of God in the Word made flesh, we too must practice learning and hearing and keeping the language of our faith. Language what does not take away from another's. Language what does not oppress another's or steal theirs, but rather language which reflects that image given to us in Paul about how the body of Christ is diverse and unified without even the smallest and the least, we cannot survive. And if one part suffers, all suffer. So this week, reflect on those words that break you open, those poems that speak to a heart and an ancient history in your heritage that gives you a sense of home. And know that through that, God is working, restoring and healing, as God always does in this incredible recovery and renewal and restoration and healing. May we say amen, amen. May we bow our heads and weep at the hearing and the understanding of how God speaks to us in this day, the language of liberation, of hope, of home, of healing. Amen.